Hello, everyone, and welcome to another podcast brought to you by AIRS LA. That's the Audio Internet Reading Service of Los Angeles. My name is Nancy Porter, and it is my pleasure to share Time Magazine with you. I need to remind you, you're listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Items read on AIRS LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers, and no unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. We are going to finish up with the December 8th, 2025 issue of Time Magazine. It is from, I don't know if this is the brief section or what. It's from the health section. Headline, a losing game. In simulations across the country, students are proving that we are not ready for the next pandemic. This was written by Dominique Mosbergen in Orem, Utah. On a Friday morning in October, about 100 high school and college students gathered in a Utah ballroom to play a game. Some students were assigned specific roles and given costumes to wear. Quote, government officials, unquote, slung ties over their t-shirts. Quote, store clerks, unquote, sported aprons, and a trio of, quote, journalists, unquote, wore fedoras and carried fake microphones. Cambry Carlisle, 16, played a healthcare worker and was given full protective gear to wear, including goggles and gloves. As students started getting, quote, sick, unquote, with a mysterious and deadly pathogen, panic surged, Carlisle says. It wasn't a real scenario, but people still got very frantic, she says. Students thronged the healthcare and public health stations for advice and vaccines, ignoring calls by workers to socially distance. One, quote, infected, unquote, student ran around intentionally coughing on people, causing panic. One of the journalists, 17-year-old Kennedy Burlingame, complained that it had been hard at times to get anyone to listen to her. The public health people told us that we need to start getting people to quarantine, but I felt like no one really did that. They didn't see the importance in it, she says. That was frustrating. Meanwhile, the biomedical researchers, who donned white lab coats and were tasked with identifying the pathogen, were baffled by the myriad symptoms that sick people were reporting, including fever, aching muscles, and a general malaise. It could be anything, one of them lamented as she Googled people's symptoms and uncovered a long list of possible diseases. The students were playing Operation Outbreak, a game that simulates the spread of an infectious disease. During the game, participants use an app on their phones, which alerts them when their avatars are infected and lists their symptoms. The pathogen spreads via Bluetooth from phone to phone. Creators of the game say it can model how people really behave when disease outbreaks strike. The game has been so good at this that the U.S. government agencies, including the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, have run its simulations. In Utah, students who weren't given specific roles were designated as members of the public and grouped together in families. These groups of families moved around the room together, visiting stations where they had to answer questions about infectious diseases and public health. The bank paid the families in tokens for correct answers. The tokens could then be used by the students to buy food from the store to keep their avatars alive, as well as get masks and vaccines. I thought it'd be just a little school activity, but it was really realistic, said Burlingame. It made me feel sympathetic for people during COVID. Burlingame was in fifth grade when COVID first gripped the globe in 2020. I just remember that one day I was at school and everything was normal, and then the next day the world had shut down, she says. She remembers it seeming almost apocalyptical at first. The same week that Utah public schools were shuttered, the Salt Lake City area where she lives was shaken by an earthquake and dozens of aftershocks. Burlingame, then only age 11, was really spooked. Some 5,400 people died from COVID in Utah from 2020 to November of 2023. The teenager is prudent when reflecting on that tumultuous time. There could be another outbreak, she says, and what would we do about it? The creators of Operation Outbreak say the game is designed to precisely to address this question. It seeks to teach students about the science and risks of infectious diseases and how interventions such as vaccines and quarantining can curb their spread, says Todd Brown, a former middle school teacher and one of the game's co-creators. It also aims to highlight the vital role that every member of society, whether scientist, doctor, government official, or everyday person, plays when outbreaks strike. This is a test run, Brown says. This is a chance for students to learn how they can potentially save lives, how they could help stop the spread of something in their school or community. Upping the urgency for such preparedness is the prediction by many public health experts that another pandemic is not just inevitable, but probably close at hand. We need to be prepared for another pandemic in the next 10 years, says Pardis Sabeti, an infectious disease professor at Harvard University and researcher at the Broad Institute who helped create Operation Outbreak. COVID was still a distant unknown threat when the game launched in 2017. Versions of it have since been played by thousands of students in two dozen U.S. states and 10 countries. Its creators say interest in the game increased sharply after COVID. We found that the students tell us the zeitgeist. They tell us the pulse of society, everything that might be coming, Sabeti says. We could have predicted a lot of what happened during COVID based on simulations that we did pre-pandemic. Students in pre-COVID simulations spontaneously came up with immunity passports, ways that participants could prove their vaccination status to get into certain spaces. Participants also hoarded supplies, broke quarantine, and even intentionally tried to become super readers or super spreaders, a phenomenon later also seen during the pandemic. We saw chaos, protests, people acting out, Sabeti says. Outbreaks expose and exploit all the cracks in our society. Any kind of injustice or issues you have are going to go on steroids, and that's exactly what we saw in these game simulations. In some cases, students who had roles of authority disseminated information about the outbreak that later proved to be wrong, often because they spoke too soon in response to public pressure or because new information later became available. That showed students how science can change as you get new information, says Brown, the former teacher who now serves as Operation Outbreak's Director of Innovation and Training. But the fluctuations in messaging often triggered malcontent among members of the community. Game organizers say that mistrust of officials, scientists, and journalists has only become more common in simulations after COVID. Participants are also more prone to unruly behavior. At some of our schools, we've seen complete societal breakdown, anarchy, and militia, Sabetti says. And that was despite students taking the game seriously. These are things we had not seen before COVID, Sabetti says. She recalls, for example, a March of 2024 simulation at a Utah high school that ended in total chaos. After the, quote, government, unquote, struggled to fund health agencies and, quote, researchers, unquote, were slow to identify the pathogen, disorder and misinformation swelled. A journalist spread fake news about masking. People began stealing from the store, and a government official went rogue, robbing the bank and throwing tokens at a crowd. I represent government intervention, he declared, according to an internal report of the simulation compiled by game organizers. Money to the people! Amid the bedlam, participants called for police force to be established, and a jail was created. The government official who stole from the bank was impeached. About an hour into the simulation, the new police force issued arrest warrants for multiple people, including someone who sold fake vaccines to make a profit, said the report. At 80 minutes, the simulation came to an end. The report said several students were running and fighting each other, and some were arresting others. It scared me, says Sobetti. It suggests that society has formed antibodies to the idea of an outbreak. People are easily triggered, so that the next time someone comes on the television and says we're having a lockdown, we could see militia and anarchy. Since the COVID pandemic, Americans have lost faith in previously respected institutions. Almost one in four U.S. adults said in 2024 that they had little or no confidence that scientists would act in the best interest of the public, according to a Pew Research Center survey. In 2019, that figure was one in eight, not one in four. Only 22% of Americans said they trusted the federal government to do the right thing always or most of the time, according to a different Pew survey from 2024. We need to do a lot to repair, because when the next pandemic hits, we will be in trouble, Sabetti says. Pandemics are expected to occur more often and become more deadly because of climate change, globalization, and more frequent encounters between people and the billions of livestock we raise to eat, as well as wild animals whose habitats we have diminished, public health experts say. It's going to be less of a freak biological occurrence and more like hurricanes, which are increasing and becoming more devastating, says Jennifer Nuzzo, director of Brown University's Pandemic Center. It is hard to predict which pathogen could launch the next global health crisis, but infectious disease experts say they are closely watching various outbreaks worldwide for signs of pandemic potential. A rapidly mutating strain of Mpox continues to spread across Africa and beyond. Avian flu strains are circulating in livestock and poultry, with some spillover in people. A manufactured pathogen is also a danger, Sabetti says. Thanks to advances in biotechnology and artificial intelligence, a single rogue actor can now feasibly create a bio threat. And because of that, anything is possible, she says. Operation Outbreak was first conceived in 2015. Ebola was ravaging West Africa, and Brown was a civics teacher in a Florida middle school. One day, a student in his class asked what would happen if Ebola came to the United States. I responded honestly. I said, I have no idea, Brown recalls. So I posed the question back to the class, and we had this exciting discussion. Encouraged by his students' enthusiasm, Brown brainstormed ways to further engage them on the subject of infectious diseases. It was a topic that was deeply personal to him. Brown's son is severely immunocompromised, and outbreaks, including the yearly flu season, terrify his family. Brown had recently read a profile of Sabetti, who had helped develop tools to detect and track deadly diseases, including Ebola, in an issue of Time magazine. Brown emailed her, and the pair ended up on the phone. He told her that he was planning to put together a simple outbreak simulation so his students could get some hands-on experience. Sabetti, who had herself experimented with outbreak simulations in her Harvard classes, asked him to stay in touch. A few months later, Brown assembled some middle schoolers in a field and, using stickers to indicate who had been infected, attempted to simulate what an Ebola outbreak might look like. It wasn't very sophisticated, but the kids loved it, Brown said. I reached back out to Pardis with pictures, and it all kind of snowballed from there. Sabetti says she saw an opportunity to create something fun, educational, and sorely needed. Her lab set about designing an Operation Outbreak app that could realistically mimic an outbreak. Andre Calubri, a researcher in her lab, had been working on contact tracking software, which he adapted so it could be used as part of the app to spread a hypothetical pathogen via Bluetooth. With the help of data visualization expert Ben Fry, the group also created a dashboard that could display data generated during the simulation, including contact tracing data and the number of people infected and vaccinated. The tools we made for the app are the same tools we're creating for outbreaks around the world. Students are working with best-in-class technology, Sabetti says. Operation Outbreak is free to use and has been played by school children from Shanghai and Sierra Leone to Paris and Toronto. Organizers can choose from a variety of possible pathogens to simulate, from coronaviruses and measles to Marburg virus and tuberculosis. Kian Sani, Operation Outbreak's chief of staff, says the hope is to bring the simulation to more professional groups in the near future, including public health departments, first responders, and companies that might want to bolster their employees' outbreak preparedness. Teachers who have organized the game say they like the simulation because, though outbreak science is not typically taught in schools, it complements what students are already learning about biology and civics. It helps kids understand the science behind vaccines and being sick and how research works. But also, it's a great pipeline for careers because they get to learn more about different career paths, says Nicole Kellerman, a biology teacher who has organized Operation Outbreak simulations in two Maryland high schools. Carlisle, the 16-year-old girl who took part in the Operation Outbreak simulation in Utah, was surprised by how much she enjoyed the game. I thought it would be weird, just this thing you'd play on your phone. But it was actually really neat to see this virus spreading really quickly and this whole city that was recreated, she says. Along with about 70 of her classmates, Carlisle, a junior at Utah's Lehigh High School, played the game at Utah Valley University in Orem on October 3rd. About 30 college students also took part. Micah Ross, an assistant professor of biology at the University of Utah, who organized the simulation, says that despite some turmoil, the students managed the outbreak well. The biomedical researchers cracked the mystery of the pathogen's identity. It was influenza in just 40 minutes. Once a vaccine was introduced, most students chose to get immunized. and the spread of the disease slowed. Ross says the games helps students become more scientifically literate and can also be a useful research tool. She co-leads a research group at the University of Utah and runs a class every year in which students are encouraged to use Operation Outbreak as a way to collect and analyze novel data. Her research group is currently working on a study probing whether certain demographic factors influence participants' decision-making and simulations conducted in Utah. We're curious if there are some decisions that are made more often, say down south, that aren't made by populations up north. What is it that leads people to get vaccinated? What factors may cause them not to get tested? Ross says, noting that the outcome of the study could help inform public health policy. Exposure to Operation Outbreak has prompted many of her students to pursue career paths in public health or research, Ross says. It also helps students become a little more confident in their ability to relate to what's happening in the real world and say, hey, I've been in that position, even if only for an hour. Okay, we will end our coverage of this December 8th, 2025 issue of Time Magazine at this point. And I need to remind you again that you have been listening to a podcast brought to you by Ayers LA. And I need to tell you that you've been listening to material provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Items read on Ayers LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers, and no unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. I'm Nancy Porter, and it's my pleasure to share Time Magazine with you. And